This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Sees me through when you're good to mama. Mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leading toward the sun. I turn to you because you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome. I'm Michelle and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking. And most importantly, we want to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. So tonight, guys, I'm going to be introducing you to a couple of my guests in a moment. We're talking about the coming up this Sunday, the International AIDS Candlelight Memorial, which is being held at City Square. So I've got two lovely folks in the studio that are going to talk to me about their involvement. And we're going to have a bit of a chat about what the event means to all of us. We've got probably some quite different opinions and feelings and emotions about the day. So without further ado, I have Kath Smith, she's one of the speakers, and Michael Dalton, who's the MC for the event and also part of the performing as part of the three of us. So welcome to both of you to Stand Up Straight.
Good evening.
Thank you.
Nice to have you in. So, as I said, it's a pretty important day, I think, in the GLBTI calendar, the memorial. And just wanted the guys out there, firstly, to get a bit of an idea about the two of you. And you've got quite different roles for the event. And Michael, being the MC,
yes.
We might have you go first.
Marvellous. Why
Lovely.
Not? Well, I was asked a little while ago by Living Positive Victoria if I would MC the event. And obviously, I jumped to that. I thought, I'd love that. And last year, they had the lovely Rachel Berger. And I'm a big fan of Rachel's and realising that it would be not the easiest shoes to fill, but I wanted to be involved. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Is it a nerve-wracking sort of event, and is it different to other events that you've hosted because it has such magnitude maybe?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I'm going to probably treat it a little more seriously than I do, you know, some of the other things that I do, but it isn't. I think you can be serious with a little bit of humour with it, you know, and it isn't about being maudlin. I think, you know, by the very nature of asking me to do it, they must have known that, you know.
Yeah.
But I won't be jumping out of a cake or anything like that.
Gosh. No. So, Kathy, you're one of the speakers, and does that kind of feel, is there a bit of weight on your shoulders being one of the speakers at an event like this?
It's certainly the biggest event that I will have ever spoken at. There is probably a bit of weight on my shoulders, considering we're hosting the International AIDS Conference here in Melbourne in the last week of July.
Yeah.
So I think the focus on Melbourne is already happening. So we may attract a bigger audience.
Yeah, I agree. Can I just, for those of you listening, a lot of people would be familiar with Michael, who is on air on Joy. For the others, they might not know very much about Kath. And I know you have an interesting story and what has led you to where you are now. A little bit about your upbringing and just really briefly and a little bit of a feel of what's Kath about.
Sure. Born and bred in Melbourne, had a great upbringing in the outer eastern suburbs, went to a very nice school in Melbourne, but had a passion for the high country from very early on, and that's where I've ended up with this new life that I'm living after HIV diagnosis and so forth. So love animals, talk straight. And like to laugh too. So I'm looking forward to the humour that Michael's going to inject into the ceremony.
You mentioned it earlier, but where do you live exactly?
Mount Beauty.
Now, doesn't that sound lovely?
It sounds.
I mean, what more do you want?
Correct.
And I asked, is it lovely? And she said, it's beautiful.
Well, it's just aptly named.
Yes.
And you're from Melbourne, but you're there now. Why did you move to a tiny little town?
When I was diagnosed with HIV, it made me really take stock of where I wanted to be living, what I wanted to be doing, and I'm very passionate about snow skiing and horse riding, and they're two things that I had done when I left school. I became a ski instructor in summers. I used to do trail rides over the high plains, you know, galloping along beside wild brumbies, and I just thought, you know, if I could move up there and have that would counterbalance the negativity of being diagnosed and give me a good work-life balance.
Yeah, I think we all look for a work-life balance. And you said that you had a really privileged upbringing. So this might seem like a cliche question, but had your life been turned totally upside down with your diagnosis?
Yes, definitely. Put on I had a very vague idea of what I was going to do with my life, even at 35, which was the age that I was diagnosed. I still hadn't worked out what I was going to do, flitting from here to there and having lots of fun, you know. Had worked in politics, worked in mining, been a rouseabout on an outback property, worked for the City of Melbourne doing grants funding, you know. So had done a lot of different things, and I just decided that the things that I got the most enjoyment out of were going to help me deal with living with HIV. So
how And I will say we're not going to delve into everybody's deep personal stories tonight, but it's important for people to understand a mindset.
Mm.
So when you were very first diagnosed, did you know anything about HIV and AIDS at all?
Yes. I was very proactive in my sexual health. I would get myself tested at the end of every relationship. Was having unprotected sex for my adult life because I had problems with latex. We're getting into a bit of stuff here. Do you have problems with latex, Michael?
I think it's an issue that we can easily talk about. Yeah. You know, it's interesting.
So I was always very proactive in testing. And I actually got diagnosed through a blood donation. So I didn't think I was at risk at that time. I was in a committed relationship. So, and had been in that relationship for some time before I actually contracted HIV.
Michael, you might be able to also answer this question as well. But did you think, oh, it could never happen to me? It won't happen to me. It's not something that it'll ever come across. It'd be on my radar or anything like that. Did you?
No, it was on my radar. I grew up in the 80s. And so I saw the Grim Reaper campaign. It was on my radar. But I just
but that it would
didn't
happen
think
to you?
I was at risk because I was a heterosexual female.
Yeah. Have you heard that before, Michael, that people, the heterosexual women or men for that matter, it's not something that's for them to worry about?
Yes, it still goes on nowadays, I believe, you know, and that it's a gay thing, you know, and I think a lot of people are, you know, majority of people, I would imagine, are a little bit more wise to that now, aren't they, you know? But I grew up in the 80s as well, and I was very much aware of it, but I would say 90-odd percent it was for me was always about being safe. And I guess knowing that, you know, that there was that chance of it happening, you know, that made me aware. But it's luck. I mean, we've got to admit, you know, it's a little bit down to luck as well. And, or, you know, you can plan as much as you like, you know, and you put your trust in somebody as well.
Yeah.
And you can be let down, you know.
Yeah.
And I guess I would, if for me, and I would wonder what your story is then, Kath, I would spend my life beating myself up over that. I would get on with living my life.
Is that you're nodding quite vigorously? Is that what you've? Is that what partly why you moved away? You want to get on with living your life?
Yes. I'd been living with chronic depression for years prior to my diagnosis, and probably, you know, if we delved into it, certainly that would be part of the choice of partner and so forth. So what when I was going through a bad phase where I was actually saying to the universe, my God, will you just kill me in my sleep?
Gosh.
Because I'm that depressed, I'm not living. And I truly believe, and I was saying this from the day I was in the Alfred Hospital's rooms with the Professor Dennis Spellman, who was my first treating specialist. I was saying, I'm going to speak up about this. And this has happened for a reason. This is so I will start living my life. And I have. I've gone, well, there's nothing stopping me from moving to the high country. I'm going. See ya.
Well, hopefully, you know, it's those sort of stories that when people are out there listening to that, that inspires them as well.
And I want, we're going to take a break in a moment, and I just want to, when we come back, have a bit more of a discussion around what you've done to make your life a positive example to other people. You are listening to Michael, Kath and Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
It's a celebration. Hey you, Stand Up Straight with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
Hi everyone, you are with Michelle, Kath and Michael, and we are talking about the AIDS Candlelight Memorial that is going to be on at City Square this Sunday at 5 p.m. Not Federation Square, as some people have thought. Lovely place that it is, but it's definitely at City Square.
It is, yes, and it's open to everybody. And obviously, the idea is that, you know, we would love as many people down there as possible. It there's for many reasons as well that they're having a memorial vigil. It is about, you know, maybe lighting a candle for somebody that you've lost, but it's also about, you know, hope. It isn't just about you know, looking back into the past. It is about looking forward as well, and I know that means a lot to a lot of people. And you know, whether you've lost somebody or not, or whether you just want to be there and show support and solidarity, I think they're very important as well.
That's the word I've written down, is that solidarity. And I think even just showing it, just the numbers of people there, if you can have a great huge showing, it's, I would think, a new age that this may sound, it's that extension of love and support. And for people that I would no doubt perhaps suspect that there will be people there that might be on their own, and that they don't know anyone else there, they don't have anyone that they can stand with.
Yeah.
I would.
Well, we'll all be there together. I mean, that, it isn't one of those, you know, it will be an opportunity to have a conversation with somebody, but it obviously isn't about that, especially when I'm on. I don't want anybody talking.
No, we'll all be silent.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But it is, I was asked, why is there this event when there's already one on World AIDS Day? This event has been going on since 1983, I believe.
Yeah.
And it is, this one is obviously hosted by Living Positive Victoria. But it's also the global network of people living with HIV, and it, for me, I think having they're having this event, you know, really in a way you'd have an event like this as often as possible.
Correct.
Whilst we still have HIV stigma and those sort of related troubles with it, we would have it more. Obviously, that's not practical. It is going on right around the world, which is actually in 115 different countries,
wow,
which is amazing, isn't it?
And I think one of the things that I love is the simple slogan about let's keep the light on HIV.
Yes.
And that's what it is about, keeping that, because it's off people's radars. The younger, younger community perhaps aren't even thinking about it. It's not on their radar. And I think events like this, it's so important to just, you know, gently, but keep it out there on people's radars.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So, Kath, one of the things before we went for a break, and I really like, you said that you were diagnosed for a reason, and I know that some might view that as kind of a heavy statement, but I think that there are things in my life that are for a reason. But why has it changed your life, and why has it given you direction and purpose?
First of all, I'd like to say that my parents have busted everything, busted themselves to send us, all the kids, to give us a good education. And I was fortunate enough to go to a school that really made us become independent women.
Mm.
So when I was diagnosed, I thought, you know, I'm a strong woman. I can talk about this. I'm not afraid of HIV stigma.
Were you ever, though? Were you ever scared? Scared of how you'd be received or treated? I mean, you're in a small town. Do they know?
Look, a majority of my friends do know,
yeah.
Yes. I don't openly advertise it.
Is there a reason that you do? I'm not saying that you have to go shouting it from the rooftops. Is there a reason that you keep it to yourself?
Well, I don't think anybody advertises anything like that, do they?
No.
You know, you need to be asked, or you need to be in the right environment amongst people that you know that it's going to be all right with. I mean, you mentioned earlier that if somebody did ask you or they did find out, you know, you probably would be honest with them, you know. But you don't, it's not that, and like anything else, you don't blurt out. You know, it's just something you keep to yourself, I believe.
I was being asked by a local journalist who comes in and does photos of the presenters of the radio station, community radio, that I present on in Mount Beauty, Alpine FM. And she said,
80s and 90s.
80s, 90s and noughties.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we haven't got enough funding to live stream, but...
welcome to Joy.
That's my on my agenda.
We
anyway,
only started a week ago, I think.
So she asked me, what do I do for a living? And, of course, after the diagnosis, I moved to the small country town, got myself a job that didn't go to plan, and the stress involved in what happened in that job actually sent my health on a downward spiral to the point where I had to start taking antiretroviral medication for the HIV, because I got an AIDS-defining illness. Even though I had quite robust immune system, something was going wrong with my eyes, and if I let it go, I could have gone blind. So I had to take the medication, and then my reaction to the medication meant that I couldn't work. So I don't work. I, in the traditional sense, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, get paid. I do a lot of volunteer work, and part of that volunteer work is I coach basketball. I coach young kids at basketball, and so one of the reasons I don't openly discuss it with my friends in cafes or wherever is because I fear that if a parent were to find out about my status, that they may consider pulling their child out of basketball.
Wow.
So I tell people I've got chronic fatigue.
Do you?
Yeah. I tell them I've got chronic fatigue.
Mm.
And that's why I can't work, because I can't. And pretty much I have from the HIV and the medications and the depression and the medications for that. And, you know, yeah, so I just plug away at my little things that I do down here in Melbourne when I come to Melbourne, with the Speakers Bureau and with Positive Women and all the other campaigns like Enough and so forth.
I would imagine it would be a little ignorant for them to do that, though, wouldn't it?
It
you
would.
Know, I mean, you know.
But I think it would be a gut reaction.
Yeah, maybe in the beginning.
Yes,
you know, or
definitely.
Maybe they'd want to know more about it, or they should know more about it. But, I mean, the world that we live in now, I think, you know, a lot more people are a lot wiser about it.
They are, definitely. You know, and the majority of people that I've told, I've chosen to tell, that because it is a big part of my life. You know, I disappear off to Melbourne. Why am I going to Melbourne? I'm getting my bloods done. I'm seeing my specialist. I come down. I was on the board of Positive Women. I chaired it. I was coming down once a month. So, you know, I would disappear often, and people are thinking, well, if she doesn't work, what's she doing? So
couldn't you be going bowling?
Ah, that would be nice.
off to the movies or a theatre.
Could be.
I mean,
but
I'd
no,
eat, mind
but,
your own bloody business. That's what I'm doing.
Also, same words. Because I'm living on the disability support pension, mm-hmm. I would travel down to Melbourne and not be able to go home again until I got my next pension because of the amount of money it would cost me to come down here. So that certainly, I didn't factor that in when I moved up there, but I didn't factor in having to go on treatment and all those things.
No, I think by the sounds of it, moving there was the best thing anyway. It didn't really matter about getting backwards and forwards, you know.
Mm.
And that's why you rely on mates as well, I would imagine, you know.
Mm. What's your support network like, both in Melbourne and in your hometown, Mount Beauty?
I've got a couple of friends that we have hump day every Wednesday. And, I go out to a friend's property and we have a few drinks and ride horses together, and not after having a few drinks.
I like the sound of that.
And, you know, as I said, I'm involved with community radio. It is a very small, tight-knit community, a very accepting community. So
do you ever get, or have you ever felt the poor me's and the why me?
Oh, don't we always?
Yes.
Yeah, we do.
I think that's normal, isn't it?
But do you know, there's a lot of people that would never say that.
Yeah.
And I think part of...
I say it every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Why me?
But I think it's important to acknowledge that it's not being selfish or anything. I just think it's important to say, you know, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Why me?
Every now and again I have what is called a woe is me, I've got HIV moment.
Yeah.
And I'll text someone who's a support and I've got people who say to me, the country people will say to me, toughen up, have a teaspoon of cement, you'll be right. To those who know, who are friends, who are positive as well, who say, yeah, we all have them.
Mm.
We all have them. And it doesn't matter whether you're 5 years in or 30 years in. And, you know, I just accept it for what it is, that I'm okay, my body's telling me and my mind's telling me I need to have a couple of days rest, and just...
Whatever in any aspect of life, it's good to realise that those moments are going to occur, and it's the ability to accept them and get out of them is important.
I think the HIV diagnosis too has made me listen to my physical and mental health a lot better.
We've spoken a little bit prior to coming onto the show, Kath, and there was a story that really disturbed me, and we're going to take a break after this, but that you were in a clinic, and I know you can't use the swear words that you may like to use, but just tell me...
Would you like me to do that?
Okay. We might... Do we have a bleep or a... You know, no, we don't. But just give me a little, tell the guys out there listening about this story about when you went to the clinic.
Sure. It was not long after I was diagnosed that I thought, look, I really need to attack this on as many fronts as possible to ensure that I stay as healthy as possible. And there's a dietitian who's involved in the sector. Her name's Jenny McDonald. And I made an appointment to go and see her at the Centre Clinic down in St Kilda. And I was sitting in the waiting room waiting to see her, and a couple of gentlemen came in and sat in the waiting room. And, you know, I just got looked up and down by one of them, and he just said to me, "What are you doing here?" And I've just gone, what am I doing here? And, you know, I don't, look, my recollection at the time, remembering that I am fairly newly diagnosed at this stage, was that it was, what are you doing here, taking away from our services?
Wow. The reason, and
because you're a woman, is that
because
what
I'm a woman,
but it isn't a male.
Correct. No, but primarily,
and
primarily that is their clientele. So, I think maybe it was from out of confusion, like, what are you doing here?
Yeah, maybe, or just an idiot,
or just an idiot.
Because they are out there.
And but the reason I wanted Kath to raise that is that it's, number one, it shows the ignorance, but also, and this is what I want to talk about when we come back, mm-hmm. is about the stigma that seems to be surrounding HIV and AIDS and many other minorities as well. Yeah. So I can't imagine what that would be like to be sitting in your shoes, yep. feeling out of place.
Yep.
What am I doing here?
Well, certainly, you know, women living with HIV form a very small demographic of the HIV community in Australia. And, I mean, there isn't just stigma against women. There's stigma within the gay community of the negative guys to the positive guys. And it's like, what's going on? We've all got the same thing. Let's just all bandy together and, you know.
That's what we're going to come back and chat. We fired you up.
Yes.
We'll give you a moment to calm down.
Thank you.
You are listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
So I'm joined in the studio with Kath and Michael, and we're talking about the AIDS Candlelight Memorial that's on this Sunday, the 18th of May at 5 p.m. at City Square.
Yes.
Michael, there's also, you are emceeing, and there's also something else that you're part of as well?
Yes, well, I've just started a new group with Luke Gallagher and Rachel Dunham, and we're going to be doing a number.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never done anything together like this, so we wanted it to be something a little bit special. So we'll be doing one number there. But also, one of the main acts is the Low Res Male Choir, and they are phenomenal.
Beautiful.
I love them, you know.
Yes.
I will let you know that I went along to their rehearsal, and I was going to do a number with them, and I listened and I just realized it really did not need me, you know, which,
aww.
You know, I'm all right with that, you know.
You're once, okay,
yeah,
with that now.
God, otherwise I'd squeeze myself in, you know, if they needed me or not.
But
it was absolutely lovely, and I thought they are great on their own, they do not need anyone else, so they'll be there. They're doing a few numbers. I know that there's loads of other people because it's the obviously, the Enough campaign will also be there. And I believe the Melbourne Chargers will be there.
Yes, they will.
Along with countless other people, you know, that are going to be speaking and being involved in this, you know, which I think it's going to be amazing, to be honest.
It is, and I am looking forward to it. And I think it's, as I said at the top of the show, I think it's a really important date on our calendar, and I hope that we get a really broad cross-section of people. I think, as we're going to touch on in a minute about the stigma surrounding HIV and AIDS, and I think this is perhaps that gentle way of getting it back on people's radars, as we said earlier as well. So one of the things I know, Kath, as we've spoken previously, and again something else that really touched me and stood in my mind, is that one of the things you mentioned is that you didn't want to take your medication initially because you were scared and concerned that you might end up looking like those photographs that you had seen or that we'd seen. That's correct. Yeah, that's right.
Oh, the day I was diagnosed, you get told you can live with it. The medications are great. And my internal stigma was going off and just saying, I'm never taking medication. I don't want to look like that. Mm. You know, and I'm taking medication and I don't look like that.
No, you certainly don't. You look gorgeous.
Thank you.
Healthy, rosy cheeks. You look fabulous.
Oh, it's the country air from Mount Beauty.
This isn't it? Yeah. Yes. So stigma, as we said, this is... This is the single biggest issue that I could ever imagine is on people that's in people's minds. This is what alienates people. It's what causes us to lose family members and friends. I know someone very close to you, Kath. You've lost quite recently as well.
Mm.
You. Just quite recently you've lost somebody.
Vivian Monroy. I didn't know her personally, but she is one of the early activists from early on in the epidemic, so one of the survivors, one of the elders.
You call them elders. Is that what we would refer to them as?
Look.
I think by the nature of them being from that era, are. You know, I don't think that they're, you know, they're not, it's not like an Indian tribe.
No, it's not necessarily that they're older, but it's almost a term of endearment as well.
Oh, yes. I would imagine it is.
The depth of knowledge that comes with these people, they're so wise. They've lived through so much, seen so many people pass away, and to survive an era where it was a death sentence, and if you did start taking the medication, that would probably kill you too, then to survive that and get another decade or so out of the new medications, well, this lady passed away.
Mm.
So people are still dying, so we need to keep the light on HIV, because people are still contracting it, people are still stigmatising it, and people are still passing away from it.
And can you imagine, or I can't, but I wonder if we could possibly imagine what the stigma was like then.
Exactly, and I was thinking exactly that. I mean, imagine if you were teaching basketball back then in those early days. Mm. That way, without a doubt, people would have, you know, taken... We know all those stories anyway.
Mm.
That's why we, you know, I love the fact that you're bringing it back to, you know, the light being on. I mean, it's just, you know, it is about, you know, remembering those people, and it is about remembering the people that are alive, and it is about remembering, you know, and having hope, as we said.
Would have gone.
Oh, and that's what empowers me is that, you know, we have to speak out about it. It's okay. We're living with it. You know, it's not killing us. I look normal. You're not going to catch it from me. You know.
Because I mean, it's gotten easier. It must have gotten easier. Well, obviously, it's gotten easier from back then when people were first diagnosed to now. And there are, I believe this is right, there's 33 million people living with HIV.
Yeah.
Now, 33 million is a lot of people. And I don't know, there's no way of knowing if every one of those had suffered any sort of stigma in their lives. But by addressing it, by talking about it, it is only doing good.
Correct. And it's the frequency that we do it, I think, then, and as important as events like this are, it's bringing it into... so much day-to-day conversation, but not being afraid to raise it.
I believe that awareness should be day-to-day. I think it should be, you know, when you're for unprotected sex, I think for me is you know, how do we not wise up to that? I mean, I know that's everybody has a choice, but, you know, I think you risk so much.
Think it's and as a parent... myself, I know that being broad-minded and saying to my son, you know, have you got a condom you're wearing? Some people, not everyone's going to agree with that way of parenting, but I know that that's the only way that I could be. And being frank and honest, and like what you said, Kath, about your status, it's about being honest and almost confident in what you're saying, because if we don't talk about it day to day in a day to day way, then we're only contributing to the stigma or suppressing or keeping it underground. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I think as a female speaker too, I've done a couple of gigs where we go out to high schools and we talk to them. And the girls just can't believe it, that, you know, that could be me.
Yep.
What do you mean? They can't, because they're female?
Yeah.
They can't?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it's back to you mentioning about the clinic. What are you doing there? You know, I mean, I think a lot of girls, a lot of guys, especially heterosexual, younger people, I would imagine, would not imagine that they're, you know, the heterosexual woman, you know, it's just not in your way of thinking about
it. They think it's a gay man's disease, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, the demographic in Australia is, I think it's about 26,000 people are living with HIV/AIDS.
Yeah.
And about... just on 15% are women and children. So there's not many of us, so there's not many that are prepared to speak up either because of the stigma.
Yeah.
So I'm here on behalf of everyone.
It's education, isn't it? Mm. It's education at a school level. It's whether it's your co-workers. Yeah.
My girlfriends who are like, I'm never going to have unprotected sex again. And I'm like, great.
Great.
You shouldn't be.
Yeah. We are just going to take a very, very quick break. We will be back in a moment. You're listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. Be an ally. Talk it out. Educate yourself. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. You are with Michelle, Michael and Kath, and we're nearly at the top of the hour. It always goes very, very quickly. And
Only an hour.
I know.
God, it's so easy, isn't it?
It was really hard to
3 hours on a bloody Wednesday, we do.
So this is easy straight for you, isn't it?
I love it.
Go and get your plug in really, really quickly.
No, I've taken my plug out.
Yeah. How can I be serious after that, Michael?
Easily.
Come on, you should have done it at the top of the hour. I would have got you got any system.
Well, it's hard to get it in the end.
I'm wondering whether the memorial is for you guys. Would you also class it as a bit of a celebration? Celebration of life, celebration of people.
Yes, I would. I mean, I live that way. You know, I've lost my dad died this year, and I gave a speech at his funeral, and obviously it was, you know, celebrating his life, but it was also, you know, having a dig and having a laugh. You know, that's the way that I was brought up. I mean, that doesn't mean that I plan to do that on Sunday. I mean, there is, you know, like the odd comment, whatever, but that's just to make people feel at ease with the day, not so I can try to get a comedy festival gig. You know, but if that happens, I'm happy with that.
Give your phone number out.
They've already got it. And but it's, you know, it's up to the individual, as we know, you know, and everybody will have a different mindset, and that's why that an event like this is great, I think.
Do you think it's also part of giving back to our community, and which I consider us to be part of?
Mm-hmm.
Being in an event like this it's like giving back, and it's being a part of the community, do you think?
For me, having to stop paid work, certainly by doing these sorts of things, yes, it is my way of contributing and giving back. If I am unable to earn an income, I want to be constructive.
Mm.
I grew up with parents volunteering, and I've volunteered my whole life, so there's no reason why I'm going to let a stupid thing like stigma and discrimination stop me from volunteering in my HIV community.
Volunteer week, isn't it?
It is.
You know, I volunteer at Joy on Midsummer, whatever, wherever it is, and it is about, you know, who you're volunteering for. But obviously I get a huge amount out of it, you know.
And I find a sense of purpose.
It isn't just doing it for them, you know. I wouldn't mind money, but, you know, normally you just don't go into it with that in mind.
No. You know? No. And I think if you're involved in community organisation, that tends to be the mindset as well, that it's about giving back, but it's also, I know I've seen this many times, and it's sort of that balance to your life, I think.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. So we have to wrap it up, guys. So we're going to tell everyone out there again for this Sunday at 5 o'clock.
City Square.
Yeah, get there a little earlier if you like, and it's going to be a lovely day, and weather-wise, which is obviously it was pouring with rain, even more difficult, but it is going to be a lovely day and a great way to be down there, light a candle and just be a part of an event that's happening right here in Melbourne.
Yeah, and bring along your family and friends.
Why not?
And make a day of it. Turn up early, bring a picnic, whatever you want to do. So that is at the City Square, 5 p.m. this Sunday. So I want to thank Michael Dalton. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And Kath Smith for joining me. And I look forward to hearing you both. It's going to be a beautiful day, a beautiful event. And thank you for joining me.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys. So I would like to leave you, of course, with your weekly challenge, which is what will you do this week to stimulate dialogue, create change, or encourage involvement? You've been listening to Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9 with Michelle Barber.
Stand Up Straight page on the Joy website. Head to joy.org.au, click on the program grid and select Stand Up Straight for our blog and podcast. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.